You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottes.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottes from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Today, I'm in Virginia for a relative's graduation, so I'm doing a remote mailbag. I haven't done one of these in a while. I haven't even been on Instagram, to be honest, for quite a while, but I'm excited to check in on everybody, see what everybody's doing, and get this going. I want to know what everybody's thoughts are. I'm going to put this out there. This is the calm before the storm, and actually, I think the storm is coming sooner than people think. This is one of the most fun times of year for NBA fans, because the rumors are going to start flying. Like, they already are. Like, we see the LeBron's kid is so, in, you know, he's here or there. He's going to school at this place. Now Paul George reportedly is staying in Oklahoma City. There's going to be some crazy rumors, maybe some involving the Nuggets coming up. So I love this time of year. Couple of notes. There was the Summer League schedule is out. I have seen it. And the Denver Nuggets will be playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, Boston Celtics, and Milwaukee Bucks. Those games kind of suck, I'll be honest. That's not the best schedule for Summer League, but none of those teams have a necessarily super high pick, so there'll be a bunch of guys in the middle of the draft. I bet Troy Brown, Kata Bates, Diops, guys like that will be there. But for the Nuggets, you know, I think Monte Morris is probably the guy currently on the roster I'm most excited to see. Obviously, Denver's 14th pick, who I think will be an exciting player in some capacity, will be there. You've got Tyler Lydon, I think, still recovering from surgery. My guess is he will not play. Juancho Hernan Gomez is going to be playing with the Spanish national team, so he's a maybe as well. I think he hasn't officially been ruled out, but I would guess he is not in. Vlatko Kankar, Denver's second-round draft and stash player, has been at Pepsi Center working out. I suspect he will be part of the Summer League team, so we'll get a look at him. I assume he probably won't be a guy that Denver brings over, but you never know. Sometimes crazy things happen. Nikola Jokic wasn't supposed to be a player, and he turned out to be one. So it'll be fun. Denver's 14th pick, 43rd, 58th pick. Good odds that all three of those guys will be on the roster, so it'll always be fun. I got a Juancho in the comments section here. I'm recording this one on our Instagram Live as well. The other news of note here, Miles Bridges keeps falling in mock drafts. I had kind of written off that Denver could get Miles Bridges. I thought he was a guy that that Denver, you know, was probably going to go in the top 10, and if he fell, he'd fall to 11 or 12. You see a lot of mock drafts, including the ones that always seem to have their finger on the pulse of these things. Miles Bridges might be available at 14. I think between him and Kevin Knox, there's probably maybe a 50% chance that one of those two guys will be available at 14. And if that's the case, I think Miles is an easy choice for the Denver Nuggets. I don't think he's a sure thing. I think he's a good, solid player. But he just, if Denver's going to take a chance on a guy, he's the type of guy you take a chance on because he's athletic as hell. He can be a great defender. He's long. He's a small forward or combo forward, so he fills a need. I think there's at least a chance that Miles Bridges falls to 14, which I think would be really, really interesting. So let's get started on some of these questions. And guys, in the comment section on Instagram, send these in because I don't have a whole lot of them. So this might be a really, really short one if I don't get a few more. The first one I got from Noah Tucker. Do Juancho and Beasley play in Summer League? Malik Beasley had on his Instagram, I think, or Twitter or something, that he was getting ready for Summer League. I think he has to play. I thought last year he had a bit of a disappointing Summer League that led to a season worth him not playing a whole lot. I would love to see if he played in Summer League as a third-year guy, you would hope that he would be the best guy on the court, especially playing against Minnesota, Boston, Milwaukee. Those teams aren't going to have, you know, a highly touted lottery pick or anything like that. So you would hope he would be the best player on the court. Maybe he'll just play one or two, but you know, one or two games or something like that. But I suspect he will play, and I think he's another guy that I'm really going to be interested in. Denver needs to decide what they're doing with him. There's a chance that he would be involved in a trade for Kenneth Reed. Denver was reportedly willing to move the 14th pick if it was going to land, if it was going to shed Kenneth Reed's salary. I think Malik Beasley might be a guy that they also consider trading just to move his salary. So that's something to keep an eye on. Juancho, I mentioned earlier, playing for the Spanish national team. I don't know that he's going to be able to be back in time to play. But if he is available, I suspect he would, because he basically had a lost season. Evan Shacklett asks, can you explain why the Nuggets would need to give up an asset to move Fareed? I thought expiring contracts were considered valuable to other teams. That's a good question, Evan. The first thing I would say is that expiring contracts don't have the value that they used to have. And one of the main reasons for that, there's a lot of teams that are going to have salary cap next season that don't have any this year, and there's not a team that will go into the luxury tax just to go under it in a year's time. I think the teams you look at that are most likely to take on Kenneth Reed's salary are the Brooklyn Nets, the Atlanta Hawks, the Indiana Pacers. Those are teams that have the salary cap to burn and are in the point of their rebuild where they are just looking to collect assets. So if Denver was going to give up, for example, to Atlanta, the 14th pick and Kenneth Fareed in exchange for the 19th pick, that would be the type of framework of a deal that I think Denver would find acceptable if Atlanta was willing to buy it on. They would essentially move up five spots in the draft for salary they have space to take on. The question is, will they use their salary cap space in another way? Can they find, in effect, a better deal with that salary cap that they have? I don't know. I think Kenneth Fareed's a useful player, by the way. I think he's a guy that it's not like you're taking on a guy who's not going to play and is going to be a burden. If Kenneth Fareed went to the Atlanta Hawks, you could plug him in. The fans would love him. He'd get some dunks. And he's not going to be so good that your team's not going to be tanking next year. He'll maintain the tank while also being a serviceable player. So it's unfortunate that his value has dropped as far as it has here in Denver this last season and a half. But I don't think Denver is just going to give up the 14th pick to move him. That being said, you do have to – the value of an expiring contract, there is 50 expiring contracts this year. There's so many that I don't think it makes sense that it's not something teams are like rushing to get in line for. This one from Nick Rivette. Do you feel there's players in the draft who the Nuggets could realistically get at 14 that would be more valuable to the franchise's future than the flexibility of instead using their first round pick to get off salary? There's no question about it. That's the calculus Denver's going to have. I don't think they're going to make a trade prior to the draft. I think they would probably have a good feeling for what teams would do at the draft, and if they're guys they want and are targeting at that spot are gone, then maybe they'd be more willing to trade at that point. But I think that the guys that I look at are Miles Bridges, obviously, Mikal Bridges, and Kevin Knox. Those are three guys that I think Denver looks at and has some real upside that you wouldn't necessarily want to just get off of that pick. To me, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a really interesting player. He doesn't fill an immediate need because he's a point guard. And I don't think Denver, you know, they have Jamal Murray, but he is a guy that I would be hard pressed to pass up just to move back. After those three guys, you know, you're talking about some guys that maybe become a little bit more hard to project. Mitchell Robinson is a guy who missed out on the NCAA season this last year, trained on his own, but as a McDonald's All-American, was a guy that was projected to be really, really good. Maybe he's a guy Denver thinks 2 or 3 years from now, that's a real asset to us. Robert Williams, another guy that maybe fits the Nuggets, doesn't fit perfectly with the Nuggets, but they'd take a chance on. I think all the other guys, Kata Bates Diop, Josh Okogie, those types, I don't know that Denver would be unwilling to move the 14th pick because they have to have those guys. So if those are the only guys available, then Zaire Smith in that category as well. If those are the only guys available, I think Denver maybe becomes a little bit more aggressive to move that pick. Maybe their asking price goes lower in return for Kenneth Fareed in the 14th pick. Let's kind of go over here to Instagram, see if I got any questions. Favorite player ever, the Drumming Fish. It's LeBron James. I am the same age as LeBron. I saw him at AAU tournaments and different camps and things like that when I was growing up, so I was well aware of him. So there's that connection. But also, I just think he's just an absolutely incredible player, arguably the best ever, if not the best, in the conversation with a couple other of the greats. And if you talk about perimeter players, I think you have to look at guys like Magic and Michael and LeBron. To me, those are like the three guys I think belong in sort of the category of their own. So I love him. I think Nikola Jokic might be second. For one, he plays for the hometown Denver Nuggets. For two, he kind of plays the same style of basketball that I did, obviously at a much higher level. The dream Nuggets offseason from Iman, one Iman. Dream Nuggets offseason. Well, wouldn't it be to land LeBron James? He's a free agent. Denver needs a small forward. It works out. If you somehow were able to get off of Fareed's money, Chandler's money, and actually maybe not Chandler's money, maybe just Fareed and say Barton, and you run with a lesser backup center, and then you just have Paul Millsap as your closing center, I think, or not closing center, but as your backup center, why not? That would be a dream scenario. Short of that, you know, guys like Kevin Durant, Paul George would also be really intriguing for Denver. I'll throw another one out to you. I like Luka Doncic a lot, and there's a chance that he falls to four or five or maybe even six. And at that point, does Denver try to involve themselves? Do they dangle a player like Gary Harris or Jamal Murray in order to try to get Luka Doncic if his draft stock falls that far? I think he's an incredible player. I think he's worth that type of risk, and he's a 6'8 player. The Nuggets have two guys, 6'4", and Murray and Harris. And while I absolutely love both guys so much, I think I would rather build my team around just one of them if you were able to replace him with a guy of Luka Doncic's caliber. So, dream scenario, Denver would be able to move up to take him at 4 or 5 without giving up more than one piece of the puzzle so far. Chance at Kawhi Leonard, 0.5%. This is why I opened with this offseason is about to get crazy, and it's my favorite time of year because, look, 0.5% chance, but who knows what's going to happen? All these crazy rumors are going to start flying around, and some of them are going to have some actual legs to them. So Kawhi's not on the radar at the moment, but who knows? Adam, hi, good luck. Thank you. I need it. What are your thoughts? Noah Tucker asked, what are your thoughts on Wilson Chandler opting out? I'm paraphrasing his question there. It's possible. Wilson Chandler's a unique cat, man. He dances to the beat of his own drum. You're right about Thad Young. That was a crazy way for him to opt out of that contract. So it'd be crazy for Wilson to do it. But, you know, players make decisions for a variety of reasons, not always necessarily financial. So I would put the odds of Wilson opting out of his contract at 10%, which is higher than, you know, logic dictates it would be 0%. But, you know, there's at least a chance. We need Admiral. Admiral Schofield, not in the draft anymore. He withdrew. I think that's who you mean. Do you think Miles Bridges is better than Troy Brown? I do. I like Troy Brown a lot. I think he's smart. His interview, he blew all the Denver media away. I was there. It was an absolutely great interview. He's a thoughtful guy. I really want to like him more. I just don't think he has that high of an upside. He's a bit shorter and smaller than you would think. He's bigger than Barton, but he looked like Barton's height. He's not quite a long enough three, and I don't think he's skilled enough to be that guy. I think what his value is that he's a smart player who's not unselfish, but he projects to be more of like your eighth man who's unselfish. So there's just not a lot of value there. Miles Bridges, you know, might end up being an eighth man anyway, but his upside at least is a lot higher than that. Yo, I love this question here, V8 Tiger. If LeBron goes west, how hard will it be for the Nuggets to make the playoffs? Harder than last season? Depends on where he goes, but I might do a podcast about this. Maybe tomorrow I'll do one. The nuclear winter for the Denver Nuggets. LeBron James could head west to the Los Angeles Lakers. Kawhi Leonard could head west, or he could even just stay with the Spurs. You know, the Spurs were in line to be a top three seed for most of this season. If you add Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs are the Spurs. They're going to win their 50-something games. And that just makes another team, you know, better than the Nuggets in the Western Conference. Paul George could either stay in Oklahoma City, or even worse, he could go to the Lakers along with LeBron James. And the Lakers would automatically leapfrog the Denver Nuggets in the rankings. Oklahoma City without Paul George, surprisingly, probably not that much worse than they were this year. I think that adding Roberson and just having Westbrook have to worry less about who he's playing with, I don't think Oklahoma City, I think their ceiling gets a lot lower, but their floor is always going to be really, really high with Westbrook. There's rumors about Portland maybe being involved in some big trades. Marc Gasol and Mike Conley might be involved in trades this offseason as Memphis looks to restart and rebuild from scratch. If those guys get moved but stay in the Western Conference, well, then that's another team. Maybe they go to Portland or Sacramento or Dallas, something like that. Now you're talking about another team to compete. So I think there's a real scenario. DeMarcus Cousins, another player. What if he gets traded but stays in the Western Conference? Does he all of a sudden become help another team get a lot better and become a playoff contender? Maybe the Clippers or something like that. So I just think there's a lot of scenarios where Denver could end up getting better but moving down in the standing somehow. It's a real possibility. Is the future starting three already on the Nuggets roster other than Chandler? Yeah, so I think what you mean by that question is future long-term, and this was asked by D. Polici. I don't think so. No, I don't think this, because Will Barton would be that guy, and I've always said I think Will Barton, the team needs him for the next year, maybe the next 2 years, but I don't think he's your long-term. When you're trying to make it to the second, third, and fourth round, or you know, finals in the playoffs, I don't think Will Barton is your guy. I don't think he can guard some of those positions. I think he's really fun. I love Will Barton. But maybe ideally he would be your starting three next season and then move back into a six-man role, primarily playing really all three positions, one, two, and three. Robert Williams or Troy Brown or Miles Bridges or Diop? I would say, again, Miles Bridges is my guy there. Robert Williams is an interesting, there's a lot of things to be intrigued about him there, but I think the fit maybe is a little bit more uncomfortable. Those type of players, the springy guys that might be centers, might be fours, you know, offensively, I think Jokic can make it work because they're low usage guys. They're really divers, just pick and roll divers, and Jokic can make that work. But defensively, can they guard well enough fours and stretch fours and switch out on the perimeter, because that's what you need your four to do? I think Miles Bridges can. I don't think those other guys really can. How would you go about getting LeBron to Denver? That's a good question, Crackerjack527. Would Paul Millsap have to restructure his contract? Well, first of all, he can't. He can restructure it next summer, but not this year. I think one of the things people forget is that LeBron was actually signed and traded when he went to Miami. And the deal wasn't for anything good. It was a really, really crap deal because Cleveland has a choice. They either lose LeBron for nothing or they lose LeBron for 2 cents on the dollar. Remember, the Denver Nuggets signed and traded Danilo Gallinari partly as a favor to Gallo and just as a thanks for your time here, but really also because they got an asset back, and the asset happened to be the 43rd pick in this year's draft. Not a great asset. So Cleveland isn't necessarily looking to get equal value. They're just looking to get something and not take on more salary. That's the key. So what would have to happen is the Nuggets would have to find a third partner to shed a bunch of salary, likely Kenneth Fareed, Wilson Chandler, maybe Mason Plumlee, players like that, and attach an asset to a third team. But sending to Cleveland probably wouldn't be much. So a deal, and I'm not even looking these numbers up, they probably don't make any sense, but LeBron comes to Denver, Kenneth Fareed and Mason Plumlee go to Brooklyn along with Juancho Hernan Gomez and the 14th pick, and Cleveland gets Malik Beasley. You know, something like that. So Cleveland doesn't, it's not like you say, oh, you traded LeBron for Malik Beasley. It's you traded LeBron and you got something of value back. Even if it's not a, even if it's a B minus asset or something like that, you got something back. So that would be what a trade would look like. It'd probably involve a third team, and the third team would be the biggest beneficiary of the deal. If the Nuggets fumble the draft and the offseason is the front office cleared a few guys terminated, would Chauncey be the first option to take over? This is a big offseason in that regard. I think the things that you could do to really screw up this offseason are sign guys to untradeable contracts, right? All of Denver's financial issues end this season, because after this season they can get rid of 50% of their salary through Wilson Chandler, Darrell Arthur, Kenneth Fareed, and Paul Millsap. All of those guys' contracts can come off the books, so you have a lot of flexibility. But you can ruin that flexibility if, say, you give Will Barton such a big contract that now he's not even movable. He is stuck with you for 4 years or whatever the terms may be. You can also miss out on a draft pick, get a guy at 14 that never plays and just occupies a spot on the roster. That could be a real problem, but I think that's a much more minor one. But yes, if they do completely strike out, I do think that the goodwill that they have built up through rebuilding this team from a 30-win team to where they are now, that goodwill probably would expire with back-to-back bad off seasons, and they would be in sort of a neutral zone there. But I don't suspect that'll happen. I think Denver has a game plan this offseason they're going to look to execute. If Chandler opts out, could Nuggets sign Jokic to the max and give Barton his money? Still no. They could. It depends on what Will Barton's money is. I mean, Will Barton money could be $7 million a year. It could be $12 million a year. It really depends on what the market dictates for him this summer. But I think Denver would still be looking to get off of Kenneth Fried's salary. Otherwise, they would end up paying some luxury tax. Obviously, it would be smaller than if that didn't happen, if Wilson did opt in. But I still think they would be looking to clear a little bit of space. Stop it. Doncic is not better than Gary Harris. Disagree. And I love Gary Harris. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Better Bridges, Jeff or Bo? This comes from Jeff Morton. I got to go Jeff. I think Jeff's significantly better. Bo is a better character actor. Like, he's good at the little roles. But Jeff, come on, the Big Lebowski is one of my favorites all time. I got to go with my guy, Jeff Bridges. That was an easy one, Jeff. Surely if you land LeBron, the owners don't mind copping the tax because he'd make you so much money in jersey sales, tickets, and sponsorships, etc. Question mark. Absolutely, there's no question about it. But again, it's not always about the finances of it. It's about the flexibility and the malleability of your salary cap sheet. They wouldn't just spend money on, oh, yeah, we'll keep Fareed or whatever. You would say, if you got LeBron James, your window is right now. You've got to start operating right now to win. So if the Nuggets were able to get LeBron, they would be fine going well over the luxury tax, but they wouldn't want to go over the luxury tax for guys that were at the end of the bench. They would say, you know what, we're going to move Kenneth Fareed, maybe even some draft picks, because we're going to try to get Trevor Ariza in here and guys like that, got useful guys who are going to be part of an 8 or 9-man rotation. And then I got another question that I've already answered in here. So that might have been it. How good would the Nuggets be if they got LeBron James? What do you think to acquire? So how good do you think the Nuggets would be? It could go a couple different directions. First of all, shoo-in for the playoffs. Floor of a top 6 team in the NBA next season. Maybe top 7 team in the NBA. And a ceiling of winning a championship. The big question would be, you know, LeBron has a tendency to turn his players into role players. And the question would be, LeBron has talked about how he wants high IQ players and he wants guys mentally prepared to win. So high IQ players Denver has, mentally prepared to win now, that's a big question mark because these guys haven't been there. No player on this roster has been all the way to the finals. Paul Millsap has had playoff success, but maybe he's not ready to take on the Warriors. I think mentally he's a tough and tested guy, but I'm not sure what LeBron is looking for in that regard. Nikola Jokic has never been tested. It's hard to make the pitch of, oh, we know that he can go toe-to-toe with the Golden State Warriors because we've never seen it in a game that actually matters in the postseason. So that's a big question for him. But as far as basketball IQ, if LeBron was willing to move off-ball a little bit more and trust his teammates a little bit more, their ceiling is through the roof. It would be absolutely beautiful basketball. I think LeBron James would really love Nikola Jokic if he trusted him enough to allow him to sort of flourish, because if he did, I think he would realize that this guy gets it. Does who coaches the summer league team mean anything important? It will not be Nori this summer. I don't think it really points to anything like that. I think what you're getting at, or you're trying to ask, is does it mean the guy that if they fire Malone, the guy that would come in? I don't think it means anything like that. Summer league. Sometimes it's just for a different coach to get their feet wet. A lot of times it's Malone just throwing a bone to somebody on his staff. Hey, this is good experience for you, something like that. But I wouldn't read into it past that. Have we ever figured out why the front office paid Plumlee how much they did? Seemed to be competing against themselves. Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a real tough one. That was part of the bad summer, I think, last year. All right, I think we'll wrap it up there, guys. Thanks so much. Like I said, stay tuned because this week it's going to get crazy and crazy. And really into next week, it's going to get crazy and crazy. And I'm excited for it. The NBA offseason, my third favorite season, but actually maybe even close to my second favorite season. It's absolutely nuts. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll see you all next time.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.